Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Moms, if you don't know the term parental alienation syndrome, you'll want to pay close attention to today's program. Parental alienation syndrome has been used as a winning argument to convince judges to grant custody of children to the parent who is physically and sexually abusing them. Our guest today lived this nightmare, and she and other moms, they are fighting back to save their children. It's coming up next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Karlaitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. I'm so glad that you're joining us again this week. We love having you here, moms. Every episode, we gather together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, on to today's program. We've got an incredible show once again. Here at Moms for America, we often say that the most dangerous place is to be between a mama bear and her baby cub. Well, imagine what it would be like to have your precious child taken away from you and placed in the home of a pedophile. Worst of all, imagine that this action was court-ordered by a judge. Well, that happened to Marilee McLean. She is a child advocate, domestic violence expert, and the executive director of Moms Fight Back. This organization advocates for courtroom reform for sexually abused children. Hi, Marilee. Welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Thank you for joining us. You're doing great things. You have an incredible story. You turned it into hope. You're making some great strides out there in Colorado. So welcome to the Moms for America podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, first, Marilee, let's just talk a little bit. Kind of give us just a quick taste of what your organization is doing, Moms Fight Back, what their mission is, and then we're going to get into all this much more specifically as we go further down the road here on our podcast. But I want moms to know, what is the mission of your organization?
The mission is we're a 501c3 and C4, and we've been passing legislation here in Colorado. We're moving nationally with other organizations to pass legislation. We fight for moms, protective moms that are trying to protect their children in our family courts and are unable to do so. Their First Amendment rights are violated, or civil rights. There's no due process, lack of accountability and transparency in our courtrooms. So we have been working diligently, and I have for over 35 years, to protect children from their abuser. And most of the sexual abuse cases are within the family. So we actually deal with lots and lots of cases, thousands.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you say this, you kind of think, wow, why would we ever need an organization to come and help, keep children safe and defend them from predators, especially sexually abusing predators, like you said, often within the family. I guess this is a place that we are here in America, and parents' rights on all cases are really being abused,
right,
and compromised, and really shut down.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
So let's talk about this, because you had your own personal story. You're a mom of one?
Yeah, one daughter.
Okay. So mom of one, and you had a story, a really tough story happen within your family. And I know this is hard to always be sharing, but it sets the stage, I guess, for why you got involved and why you feel like it's so important. What happened? You divorced your husband, and you had your daughter with you. And from what I understand, at that point, there was some issues that started coming to fruition and concerned you.
Yes, I was a domestic violence survivor. I divorced the father when she was 6 months old. We've been married many years. And I filed for divorce during that time. That usually when the woman's pregnant, a lot of times that's where the domestic violence will come out the most. But Anyway, my little girl, I got full custody of her. It was never a custody issue. At about he had limited visitation, and a lot of times he didn't even see her. He wouldn't even pick her up. But at about the age of two, she started displaying sexual behaviors at the daycare with the daycare provider, and she brought it to my attention. And I thought, well, it's coming from somebody there at the daycare because I knew nothing was going on here. And a lot of times you're in that denial. I would have never dreamed he would do anything like this. So, not within a month of that, my daughter disclosed explicit detailed stuff that no child could possibly come up with. My sister was a nurse at Children's Hospital, so I had called her and I said, "What do I do?" And she said, "Don't mention her dad's name. Wait until the morning and ask her what happened down there. And if she repeats the same thing, take her to a pediatrician." So that's what I did. And that's where my
Okay.
nightmare began.
And how old was your daughter at that
She
time?
was 2 and a half, and she was not talking, but showing what was happening to her, stuff that you can't even imagine. So,
Was that coming out in nightmares? Was there some kind
oh,
of,
she did have nightmares for a long time.
yeah.
She would wake up in the middle of the night screaming out, "No, Daddy, don't. Owie, owie, it's bad." And grabbing down there, she
Oh
was
my
in pain.
gosh.
So I went through that for a long, long time. And the daycare provider also did when she was in her naps and things like that, and had witnessed the abuse as well, what my daughter was saying.
So your daughter is telling you. You then bring your daughter to the pediatrician. You go on a journey of like, what is happening? What has happened to my daughter? And you are now trying to get to the bottom of this. So obviously, you do or you don't talk to your ex at this point, or you start going, what road do you go down? Where do
Well,
you go with all this?
it actually it went into court, and a lot of times these GALs, which are guardian ad litems for the child, are blocking this evidence. And I had a nightmare one that was we'll go into it later with Dr. Richard Gardner, but she was very much in favor of him back in the 80s. So I was up against the whole system, and all these cases that I will be discussing later are all up against the system. These are good, loving moms trying to protect their children. So the more evidence that came out on my daughter about the sexual abuse, the more time she got with her father. There were police reports.
Wait, wait, say that again. So the
The
more
more evidence that came out on my daughter sexually abused, the more time the courts gave her with her father.
so now you're in a court battle
Court
when
battle like you've
you're,
never seen.
oh, I am sure, because I can tell by just, this mama here, still you can feel the fierce defense that you can feel it from you still.
Yeah,
It's like
absolutely.
you're replaying it. So the more you went and brought it up as a concern, and you brought testimony, you brought, did you bring medical?
Oh,
You're
yeah.
bringing all this to the court to get him out completely of her life. They would say, oh no, now he gets an extra couple of days. Now he gets weekends. What, is this what I'm
It's
saying?
shocking. It's so shocking. Yeah. So, as I said, more evidence. So there were police reports that absolutely stated what my daughter was saying and what she had not wrote in nature. It was like the first police officer that interviewed her, he's from the sexual abuse team here in Colorado. And the things she told him, she had never ever said to me. So it was detailed information that no, I'm not going to go into detail because it just take up more time, but detailed information, drawing charts showing exactly what was happening to her, what he was doing. So that in itself was going to the DA at that time to possibly prosecute. I was blocked by social services for doing anything. And most of the time, social services finds these cases unsubstantiated, even though there's evidence. The more time that came on, there were therapists, there were over 25 witnesses to this abuse, and teachers from her school, preschool, daycare provider, of course, family, friends, you name it. Social workers had been told what she was telling them. So it was the sad part about my little girl was she was very bright at a young age. And I'm not just saying that, she was very advanced and articulate, and she was begging for help. This wasn't a child who hid it. She was begging. She would say to me,
Right.
"Mommy, who are the good people? Who are the bad people? How come no one believes me, Mommy? Why do I have to go back to my dad? I don't like to go to my dad. He touches me." So And I couldn't say anything because if I said anything, they'd use it against me. When I took her to the emergency room one night because she was in terrible pain, and I took her in because I've made up my mind. I've gone through several attorneys, made up my mind this next time she brings it up, I was not allowed to bring it up, and I would possibly go to jail. So I,
I mean, come on.
no,
You even
yes.
say that, it's just appalling.
Yeah, no, I was threatened with jail and contempt if I was not allowed to take her to a doctor, not allowed to bring up the abuse again. If I did, I was losing her completely. So, my
Because they think you're fabricating it because they're siding with,
Gardner's theory,
yeah,
and they're
Gardner's.
stating that I'm alienating the father. And in these cases, if the mother is labeled with alienating the father from the child, that is worse abuse than sexually abusing your child. Way worse. I mean, that is the whole reason I lost custody of my daughter. So anyway, I take her to the hospital, and the nurse even asked me, because she was asking me questions, and I didn't answer. This is what I tell these mothers. Do not answer when you take her to your doctor. You point to your child. Even though my daughter was really young, she was articulate and saying things. I didn't answer because if I said anything, they'd say the mother said, and then all of a sudden
Oh,
approaching
yeah.
her.
She's
So
conditioning the child.
yeah. So I just wouldn't answer. I would just say, ask my daughter. And finally the nurse said, are you not her mother? So she told two policemen that night, and the doctor at that hospital emergency room said that she had been sexually abused, that she'd been exposed to sexual stimuli, and she had, I'm not going to go into it, but she had evidence that was that of an adult female who was sexually active at 4 years old.
Wow. Wow, this is so incredible. And in the meantime, as you're fighting for this and you're discovering this and you're presenting this, he ends up getting custody?
Yeah, I let's see, I think I can't, I'm almost forgetting here. I went, she was 4 and a half. And there was more evidence coming out, and there was a children's hospital doctor's report. These are the top doctors in the state of Colorado. Dr. Carol Jenny is one of the best sexual abuse experts in the nation, and stated that my daughter was being sexually abused. They wrote a letter to my judge, please contact us concerning the sexual abuse of this child, and he threw it out. And I went into court. I mean, I went into court for 10 years straight, but at this point, I went into court, and they threw out all evidence, all police reports, doctor's reports. And then I was ordered to pay child support to him higher than he ever paid. I was ordered to pay all court costs. I was ordered to pay all therapists. In other words, they bankrupt you because I'd already gone through thousands and thousands of dollars. So this was to shut you up. And then I lost her by two therapists, Leona Kopetsky and Claire Purcell here in Colorado, who believed in Dr. Richard Gardner's theories, which I'm sure we'll explain later. And they determined I had parental alienation, not looking at the domestic violence, not looking at the child abuse, the child sexual abuse, the child's pleas for help, not caring about that. All they cared
No.
about was saying I was an alienator. And I lost because they ran an 80-page document to a judge on a Monday morning with a docket full stating I should lose custody of my daughter. And I was put into supervised visits for 10 years, treated as a hardened criminal. I got to see her 1 hour a week, supervised, not allowed to talk about her family, her friends. She's very close to my family, her cousins, not able to show
Her
her pictures.
grades, her
I couldn't
anything you
see her
said.
grades. I couldn't
She
anything.
swam, you couldn't sit,
I
you
taught her
couldn't
how
go
to
to.
swim when she was 2 years old.
I
She
heard
was
you
a
say all
great
this in
swimmer,
an
and
interview.
I couldn't even see her in her swim meets. I was not allowed to talk to her. If I got to talk to her on the phone once a week, he was to screen the calls and he'd listen in on the phone calls. I couldn't go to her school. I mean, I was treated as a criminal. Let's just put it that way. I was a
You sure were. You sure were treated as a criminal. More's coming up with Mira Lee on courtroom reform and protecting our kids right after this break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family, just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All right, moms, welcome back. And before we continue with our interview, I do want to ask everybody to please like, share, and subscribe our podcast here. This is how we get the information out to the moms in our circle. So please go ahead, share this, like this, and tell your moms about Moms for America podcast. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, could you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net? In fact, I'm going to pause here for a moment because Mary Lee sent an email in about her organization and the story that she would like to share and the moms that she would like to help. So please, we do, you know, read these emails and we do try to have those people join us on Moms for America podcast. So again, thank you, Mary Lee, because you did fill this out and this is how we found out about your organization. Lastly, I do want to invite all of the moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I hope that you are a part of our national movement, our sisterhood here. It's moms like us uniting all across this country to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. I want to encourage everyone to please check us out, momsforamerica.us, sign up for our newsletter, check out all of our resources, our seminars, and our webinars. We are here, Mom, to help you on your journey through motherhood. So please check us out, momsforamerica.us. And now back to the podcast. So let's go to the crux of this. This is happening, and this is why you have the organization. This is happening all across the country. And it's kind of a nervous laugh that I'm doing because it's so infuriating to listen to this story and know that it is not just you and your daughter's life. I mean, this, when you ruin the innocence of a child, my God, you should just be, we those people should not be allowed.
To
do anything. They should be locked up. They are the criminals. They are the pedophiles. So yes. they flip this on you. Mm-hmm. They make you become the crazy lady mm-hmm. who's trying to punish her ex-husband. This is how I'm understanding this. Yeah. And you're punishing the ex-husband, you know, by calling him a sexual molester,
pedophile.
To this child, and they go ahead and they use. I want to talk about this parental alienation syndrome, and this is what they're basing it on, right? This is the foundation of the case that shifts it, and all of a sudden, because of this, they based everything on that in order to take your daughter away.
Right.
So tell us what that is. You mentioned it earlier, and I want to get into this, Dr. Gardner.
Yeah. So in actuality, I just want to say these mothers are excellent mothers. And I was an excellent mother. And my daughter was my life and is my life. But the parental alienation came in because of this GAL, as I said. Her name was Doris Trular. She's a GAL here in Colorado, guardian ad litem for the child. And she brought in parental alienation. And it was really strange as I was at a meeting with all of them because they would surround him and I was kind of always on the outside and they were all up against me, whether it was social services, the therapist, everybody, because they bring in the therapist that stated she was being sexually abused. They pull off the case and they put on one that would do no abuse therapy. So anyway,
that aligned with their story,
where they were going, the whole thing. And so I'm sitting there and I see a book being passed under the table and I just happened to see the cover of it. And this is really strange. A few weeks later, I'm in Tattered Cover. It's a bookstore here in Colorado. And I see that cover. And I think, well, that's the book they were passing around. I look at it and it's on parental alienation. I knew nothing. Nobody knew about parental alienation back then. So I get the book and I go, oh my God, I read it, I underline it, and I give it to my attorney. I said, this is what they're using.
This is what they're
And that
using.
is exactly it. I was labeled with that. It's unscientific method. It's not approved by the AMA or the APA, American Psychological Psychiatric Association or Psychological Association. And it got out there, and he self-published his books. Now, this is back when you didn't self-publish. So he self-published his books and sent them to every court in the nation, and they all start
And
taking
quite a
on.
few of them, right?
Oh, every court. I mean, they all start
Yeah.
taking on his theory. And later on, I don't know if that'll come up, but I was went on CNN International News, and the only
Yeah.
piece we have on Dr. Richard Gardner is on my CNN. It was an international piece, and it was
Really?
very well
That
done.
meaning that's the only one that has ever covered it?
So he states on there, jail these moms, gag these moms. That's what's been happening for over 35 years. The women are being jailed and gagged, and these are good, loving moms, educated, every walk of life. There's Christians. It's horrific. But anyway, so they labeled me with parental alienation, and it didn't matter what I fought, didn't matter what I brought in, didn't matter what kind of a mom I was, didn't matter anything. They were out to crucify
Right.
me, and I was lobbying in Washington, D.C. at the time and trying to get Congress and senators. I worked with a huge law firm there, so I would fly out there twice a week and lobby all day and come back trying to
Interesting.
get this out there that many years ago. And there was no movement at all. But because of that, I got punished in the court. So I got five contempt citations. For going on the news media, because I had a lot of news media coverage here in Colorado. CBS covered my story for months at
So
the
you
time.
decided to take it to the media. You
I
had
did.
it in the court
Yes.
system. You had it, yeah, in your home. You had it with him for sure. And you were trying now to get the story out, and you did get quite a bit of publicity about this. Did that help?
Excellent news coverage, I'll put it that way. And
Yeah.
yes, it helped by this sound of it is because you know what? Nobody wants to believe this is happening. I know
Right.
even you reading this, you were going, oh, this can't happen. And I had a federal judge that was working on my case when I had to go pro bono because I'd gone through seven attorneys in 10 years and I had to represent
Wow.
myself. And I was pro se. And not pro bono, I was pro se. And he was a federal judge and he was retired, and I gave him little bits and pieces at a time because you can never give all this stuff to somebody at once because they can't believe it's going on. But anyway, so when he saw what was going on, and then I was, yeah, you're right. I was fed up. I saw the system fail.
Yeah.
I saw it break down. I started writing my book then when she was
You're going to
after her,
expose it. Yeah.
and I was exposing it, and great coverage here in Colorado. And the other thing was, I had full newspaper coverage because I had a huge rally here at the Capitol where women came in from all across the nation. Every single state was covered.
Wow.
Congressmen, senators, one of the top attorneys in this field stated when she was on the Capitol steps, she said, you know, she said, at first we start taking a list of mothers. Today we're changing that list and we're taking a list of judges. And the first judge on that list going to
Oh.
be Judge Michael Beda, who sentenced Marilee McLean's child to a lifetime of abuse. And this is for you, Julie, and her fist goes in the air. And I'll tell you, that rally was covered by the media. And yeah, it did help because it's the beginning of opening people's eyes to what's going on. I believe the
Right.
media is extremely important in this. And I think we need national news coverage hit every day with this going on because 90% of the people don't even know what's going on. And they would
No.
be outraged to know what's happening to our children in this country. So
Yes.
another,
Ah.
when I spoke at that rally, I hadn't planned a speech because I've been so busy planning this huge rally, and it was a lot of work. And I remember getting on the Capitol steps when I was called. Obviously, Joan called me up because I was one that planned the rally with her. And I get on the steps, and I used a speech that I'd used at DU Law School. And I'm kid you not, my voice was so powerful and so strong that I could hear myself talking. But it didn't sound like me because I believe God was speaking through me. My voice was so powerful that I could hear it and I go, well, who is that? You know, I was soft
Well,
and
you
sweet.
had conviction.
This was not a soft,
Yeah.
sweet voice. But anyway, this guy got on his knees and said to me, my God, you can speak. You've got to continue to speak. And I really believe now, not back then, but people are chosen for a certain thing, and this is not me. I was not a speaker. I was not a writer. I do both. And I think I was chosen to make a difference in this. And that's what I've been doing. It's a long, long, horrific
Yeah.
process.
Right, because this is how many years ago did this happen to your daughter?
See,
30?
36.
Okay. And what you're seeing now, is the same trick, the same play, the same playbook?
Yeah, I deal, not exaggerating, with thousands of cases in those 35 years. And I had a mom from Boston who was a surgeon, and the father was a colonel. It went in the Boston Globe, her article on her case. And on Mother's Day, she supposedly committed suicide. And she had two twin boys who went to the father. And I have videotapes of those little boys.
Well, you think about it, right? Just when you say that, even when you said your daughter, you had to drop her off at them at the predator's home.
With the killer.
When you're letting them go to the monster, as a mom, you would just literally explode with
And
infuriation
you're being
and
judged.
hurt and so sad.
And you feel like, your child is wondering why, and you can't
Why?
explain anything. And these two little boys were screaming in this video, "Please don't make us go, mommy." And anyway, we don't know that she committed suicide, but anyway, she is gone. And there's several mothers that have either been murdered or silenced, committed suicide. They get sick, they get cancer. They've been put in
They're
jail.
broken. They're just
They're
broken.
broken, and their hearts are so broken that we had a mom just recently that had a heart attack while she was in court. We had another mom just in the last month. We've had three moms die. So it's not, we're losing the children too. The children are being murdered as well. So this is something that should have national news coverage. It is international as well. I've gone over to speak in England, and it's happening there. But it's Gardner started here in the 80s, and his theory took hold in the 80s, and it started in England probably 10 or 12 years ago. But it's been here all those years, and it's being used internationally as well. And we've got people pushing Gardner's theory still today. They're saying it's in the DSM-5,
Evil,
not.
evil. Parental alienation syndrome. Dr. Gardner, the creator of it all, who is now just really destroyed children's lives and mothers' lives, let alone not only heartbroken, and I can't even imagine carrying that around, but they're financially broken. You were just saying you lost
I
thousands
mean,
upon
you're
and that's what they
bankrupting.
try to do, right? They try to
Oh
break you
my gosh, yeah.
emotionally
They
and
bankrupt.
then break you financially.
Yes. So I have a mom here in Colorado. I'll just say real quick, she had three girls, and I can't say anything more than that. But she was jailed for 18 months, and she's a soccer mom. She's a great mom. 18 months fighting to protect her three girls. So it's crazy. I've never, I mean, I, honestly, I thought I was the only one going through this till I started researching and stuff, but we didn't have
Right.
computers back in those days. We didn't have the internet. These women today have the internet. So it's going out there rampant. But
Sure.
one thing I wanted to more say about Richard Gardner to hit your audience is in his books, he states we all have some pedophilia within us, that it makes little girls and little boys better sexual partners, that you need to have more pity for the pedophile than scorn. It's God's will. This sick guy
What the
actually pushes stuff, and
pieces?
it's in his books. So,
And this is a guy that they're basing the court cases on as a
they're
resource.
still using
And
it. Yeah, they're still using it heavy.
we see this, Marilee, right? We see this so many weird things like this all in different facets. You get, the most horrible ideology in books, and then they base their foundation on this, and it's just really, really, really scary.
Well, and he made a lot of money doing it too.
Sure he
He
did.
made
Sure he
buku
did.
bucks. So
Yeah, sure
that's
he
a lot
did.
of it.
Did you get custody of your daughter back?
It was a 10 years in court. I had supervised visits where I was treated as a hardened criminal, like I told you. I got to see her 1 hour a week. During that time, she was beautiful. She was funny. She had great personality. I couldn't walk down the street without people stopping me to talk to her. And I watched her deteriorate horrifically. She went into a trance-like state. Sometimes she would lay on the floor and she'd say, "I can't see you." And I say, "You can't too see me." And she goes, "No, I can't see you. I just want to die." And it was heartbreaking. And her hair fell out. So she went through absolutely horrific trauma. And I watched that, And couldn't get her home, and she wanted to come home. And the supervisor of those visits was like Gestapo. I mean, it was horrific, horrific, horrific for her, horrific for me. Lots of trauma for both of us.
Oh, wow, what a story. Thank you for sharing this because I know
Absolutely.
that you said so many moms across the country are dealing with this. We've got to get the word out. We have to help these moms. Your organization, how is your organization helping moms
Well,
with similar stories like this? And I want to talk about the legislation because what I stories like you, this is someone who's been a victim. You've been a victim, clearly. And you said, I am going to be victorious through this. I'm going to help other people. And this is where the amazing magic happens when people do like things like this because everybody's searching. There's a lot of moms that are searching for hope.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've found is that by putting my book out there, which is
Again, tell us the name of that book.
my book is called Prosecuted But Not Silenced. I was prosecuted, but I was not silenced. And it's
Look at
courtroom
that.
reform for sexually abused children. So, what I did in that book is what's crucial to any mother out there going through this. They must read that book. It'll keep them from being blindsided by what the courts do. And so, I put in it's a story. But while you're in the story, I did all the research and the legal behind it. So if you're reading it and you think that couldn't happen, I could say go to Addendum A and there's the police report. Go to Addendum B, there's a judge's order. So I pretty much lead you through how to get through this, but it's actually the story is a killer in itself. And that book helps lots of moms going through this, and it validates who they are and what they're going through.
Crisis they're in,
My
yeah.
goal has been to, I get lots and lots of calls and I take those calls and it's just gut-wrenching because you're reliving it, but you're trying to help them through it. And it just seems to never end. That's the thing. I mean, you know how long it took the Catholic priest for us to even look at them. This is another taboo that nobody wants to look at. Nobody wants to deal with. They want to just turn their head from it and believe it's not going on. But it's destroying these children's lives. And it's crucial to it cost us
Terrible.
billions of dollars with dealing with the heart attacks for these kids.
They're losing the,
PTSD,
they've lost
anxiety,
not only
suicide.
the father, but they've lost the mother now.
Oh, yeah, but see, the father, they're not losing the father. They're getting to stay with the father. These
No,
fathers
but I mean, they've lost any real
relationship.
male of a father.
Oh,
They're living with a monster.
yeah, they are. They're dealing with a monster and they're so traumatized
And afraid.
and afraid. Oh my God, so afraid. They can't even comprehend. I know.
Tell us about the legislation, though, that
Okay,
you're
yeah.
doing now. This
So the
is so
legislation
exciting.
is Julie's Law, which was passed here, as I said, HB 21, 1228 was passed in 2021. And what we started out to do, like I said, was to get these judges trained. That was because these judges here in Colorado, they only have to have 5 hours a year. And 5 hours a year doesn't cover domestic violence, doesn't cover trauma, coercive control. They know nothing about coercive control. They know nothing about really domestic violence. Most of them don't. They're not trained. So that's really crucial.
Okay. So
Accountability,
training is a part of this. That the
training.
bill says training.
Yes, training. So it's training for the CFIs and PREs. These are custody evaluators, for the
Okay.
mediators, for GALs, guardian ad litems, for lawyers. All these people need to be trained to understand these. They take on a dynamic that's not even scientifically proved. And then, secondly, not allowing the evidence in. And they have to have evidentiary hearings because of this law. You cannot throw out all the evidence. They still do it. So they go against the law. Then their next law was Kaden's Law, and that was HB 23 1178. Kaden's Law is a little girl that was murdered in Pennsylvania by her father, and the mom was telling what was going on. Nobody listened. It ended up getting federal funding through, I don't know, it was about 3 or 4 years ago, but couldn't get passed in Pennsylvania. So we brought it to Colorado since Julie's Law had already passed. And because I had Moms Fight Back and I had the people that could push it to get past, the representative that I got on Julie's Law was excellent. And she fought like crazy to get it through. So it got passed as well.
Nice.
And now we're pushing Caden's Law is just, there's an organization called National Safe Parents Organization, and we're pushing to get Caden's Law passed in every state. There's laws popping up all over. So it could be Peakey's Law in California because Peakey was another kid that was murdered, or it could be OM's Law in Utah was another little boy that was murdered. So basing it actually, this sounds crazy, but even though it's sexual abuse and it murders a child's soul and it murders the child in so many ways that you don't know that they're going to make it through it. You don't know they're not going to commit suicide. You don't know all the things that can happen to them. But with the children that are being murdered, at least we bring attention to the legislation. So that's why we've used that a lot. And I think it needs to be all of this, all of these issues together, coming together. And we need the media coverage until I don't believe, I mean, I've been in this long enough to know, and it's until we get the media to cover this nationally and internationally and see what's going on and take heed to it, we're not ending this. I have not seen, I get cases every single day. Every single day. Mom's going to jail. And I have a mom that went to jail a couple of weeks ago. Wonderful mom, been talking to her a lot, and her they gave her $1 million bond because her 15-year-old son ran away from the abuser and went to her, and they put her in jail.
And she can't do anything.
No, she's in jail right now, and she's having heart problems as well. So I think it
Right.
attacks your heart because you're so
Well, sure it does. And
brokenhearted.
can you, of all of us as moms, if your child is in danger and you cannot help, mama bear cannot help her cub. Are you kidding me? There's nothing, I don't even know what else would be worse.
You know,
I
I
really don't
always
even
say
know what else
this
would be worse.
saying, a mother's first instinct is to protect her child. And when the
Yes.
means and power to do this are stripped unjustly from a mother, there are no words that can describe the constant heartache that is felt as each day passes by. And that is what
So
it is.
true.
Our children's fears have turned into screams. You know,
Wow.
it's a lifetime damage. And that's what I was getting at. It's costing the United States billions of dollars to deal with all this trauma. And if they would deal with it and do what's right in the court systems and protect the children and protect the women that are abused, because these women are losing their jobs, they're losing everything. If they would protect the women and children, it's not, you know, this doesn't happen to men. This is a patriarchal society. I hate to say it, because I used to think the women judges are going to do the right thing because they're a woman, they're a mother. They're going to look at this mother and go, that can't happen. The women judges are the worst. So it's going to take a movement like you've never seen. And it's going to take going up against the pedophiles that are all the way at the top. And they are all the way
Wow.
to the top.
Yeah. Wow. And I do believe that, unfortunately. Oh, wow. I'm kind of just speechless here to hear this whole story and what you're doing. Again, moms fight back. How do these moms that are listening, I'm sure someone has a friend or someone that they can share this with that is having a situation where their child's in danger. Let's get them to your organization. How do they find it?
It's momsfightback.org, but right now we have our website being revamped. So you really won't be able to go that direction. My real advice, if moms are going through this, is to get to groups within your state. And also, you can come to Moms Fight Back. It's just that I don't have enough manpower to handle all these calls. I really don't. I'm not a good financial person to figure out how to maneuver the money and get the help, the grant funding that I need. But National Safe Parents Organization, they don't really take the calls, but they do a lot of work in this area. And there's other organizations that as well do as well, but it's really going on the internet. And if you join Moms Fight Back group on Facebook,
Okay.
there's lots of moms there and
Oh, good. Because
private.
that's really the power when you get all moms together.
Yeah, and
So,
these are
again, there's a
moms that are
Facebook group.
experiencing it, and they can give you advice and they can get help, and we do court
Oh,
watch.
yeah.
So, you know, a lot of
That's
these.
really the power when you get on a Facebook group like that and you all share
Yeah, and I think
what
you
you're
guys are
doing.
power. That's why I came on here, because
Yeah.
I believe, you know, we have the same mission really. And I think if we could pull together to make something out of this and the people listening to this, and the men, the good men out there that are listening to this, we need their help, and
Yeah,
we need your
sure
help,
do.
and we need tons of help because we're losing so many children and women as well. And I do put the women in there because I've watched these women go by the wayside as well.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Moms Fight Back Facebook group, I think that is a great idea for moms to get in there to talk and chat and share hope and help. Again, your website right now is kind of being revised, but they can look for you in the future. They can get your book. They can contact Moms for America.
And they
I
can
know
also,
there's.
oh, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, Debbie, but
Okay.
they can also go to my website. There's lots of information there. So my website is marileemclain.com. And in there, there's articles that I've written. There's
Oh, good. Okay, that's the
lots of
website to use that.
information.
Okay.
You want to reach me. I do charge for consultation now, but you can get a consultation with me. And also you can, I think my book is crucial, and I'm not just saying that, it's crucial to these women going through this. And
And that's on your website as well?
yeah, all of it. And it's really important. You know, my website, we're going to combine the two websites with Moms Fight Back and mine. But once that combines, and we've got a lot more information coming on momsfightback.org now, it's just being revamped. But these women need to have a place to go. But if you go to my Moms Fight Back page on Facebook and you go to my
Yes.
website, those are two great avenues.
Tell us your website again, your personal
Okay,
website.
it's my name, Maralee, Maralee, McLean is MC, capital LEAN, .com. And
Okay. Thank you, Marley.
that is my website. And then Moms Fight Back is momsfightback.org. There's still information out there on that site. It's just now getting changed. And
Okay. Well,
then
those are the
Moms
resources
Fight
that we
Back
need.
on Facebook. Just go to Moms Fight Back and you can join the group as well. There's a page there for Moms Fight Back. Oh,
Those are the three
book
avenues.
page
Yes.
is prosecuted but not signage. You can go to that book page too. You'll see a lot of information on other mothers there as well.
Okay. Thank you, Marilee.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a warrior. Thank you for
Sure.
being a fighter. Thank you for sharing your story and actually giving moms hope. So we're there. The thing that we want to do is protect the children and help the moms. That's what your
Absolutely.
organization's doing. That's what our organization is
Yep,
doing.
that's great.
So
So I'm
thank you
glad
for
we
your
came
good
together.
work.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Debbie, for having me on.
Boy, do we appreciate Marilee sharing her story and the great work that she's doing, Warriors. And again, moms, please check out her information if you know of someone that is dealing with a similar situation so they can be helped. We are here to help the mamas and protect the children. All right, for more information on Moms for America and all of our amazing programs and resources to help support you on your big journey through motherhood. Boy, this is an incredible job. It's the best job. It's the best calling, but we all need each other, and that's why we're here at Moms for America to help support you. So please check us out, momsforamerica.us. We have incredible information. We say this you'll hear me say this always. You know, we have everything from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress. Moms for America has it all. So please check us out, momsforamerica.us. We're the ultimate support groups for you moms. And we really appreciate you. Thanks for joining us. And thanks for being a great mama. And we are changing our country one home at a time. I'll see you soon. And thanks for joining us. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.